Welcoming John O'Connor. He's the Illinois political writer for the Associated Press. Good evening, John. How are you?
Hi, John. I am doing very well. Thank you.
Well, good, because you have got. I saw this story the other day, and it was the first time I'd heard about the shoebox scandal, and it is wild. I mean,
and that is saying something in a state like Illinois when you talk about political corruption.
Exactly. I mean, this is like, you know, well, you open up the dictionary and look up political corruption, and there you see the state of Illinois. But really, I mean, it seems like almost every other governor goes to prison for something or other.
Yeah, you know, in the last 15, 20 years, it has seemed like that. We had two in a row.
Yeah, right.
Republican George Ryan and Democrat Rod Blagojevich go to prison back to back.
Why do we elect people that go to prison? I don't know why I asked. You don't have to answer that question, but I mean, they must have. I guess they just didn't give any indication in the character that they were going to do something nefarious that would put them behind bars. Anyway, this is beyond anything we've heard in years. How many years ago does the shoebox scandal? Where do we go into history to find the first mention of this?
1970. In fact, just about today, yesterday, 50 years ago today, the cash was discovered.
Okay,
and you ask, why do we elect these people? This man, Paul Powell, was just a backslapping good old boy, you know, always had flowers for the nursing homes down in southern Illinois. He's from Vienna, and he always had shoes for the children at Christmas time. Hugely popular in downstate Illinois. And he rode that reputation for 30 years in the legislature and then as Secretary of State.
Well, you start your article with mentioning John Redleman II, who exited St. Nicholas Hotel in downtown Springfield. And he recalled his father's amusement as a teenage attendant who was parking a car. I guess this would be for Powell, and he wanted $20. And in Powell's car, if I got this right, there was $800,000 in cash.
John Redleman that was the day he discovered the cash, and he didn't know what to do. He was the chancellor of Southern Illinois University at Edwardsville, so he's a man. You know, he was a public figure, and he was the executor of the state. He goes into the hotel room to start cleaning it out. He finds this cash in a shoebox, but also in a couple of strong boxes and a couple of attaché cases. Well, he spends the afternoon then carrying these containers down to his car, which is parked outside of the St. Nicholas Hotel. Well, it's a no parking zone from 4 to 6. So when he came out at 7, his car had been towed. And his son is a lawyer in Carbondale, John Redleman III. And he has some great stories from his father, but that's his favorite, that his father called the police, found out where the tow lot was, and he said a pimply-faced, contemptuous little kid was running the tow lot and was gleeful about asking him if he needed to pay $20. And the car was stuck.
I got a little backwards. I thought it was somebody, you know, getting a car at the hotel. That was retrieving the car at the car pound, or whatever you want to call it. Yeah. And there was $800,000. There's a lot to this story, which I want to get to, but I guess I'll jump to the end and work backwards. What happened to the $800,000?
Well, it was the government got a good chunk of it.
Yeah.
His estate, he never made more than $30,000 as a public official, which of course was a good salary in the 1960s.
Yes.
But his estate was worth $4.6 million, and the IRS ended up getting $2 million plus of that, and the state got $230,000, I think, in taxes that had not been paid.
I'll say.
And so this is and you know, to his credit, the rest of the money was doled out to some charitable organizations, right, and took care of some people. But that's he, you know, it was a my scratch, I scratch your back, you scratch mine.
Yeah, and we have that. That's a long history of that. John O'Connor is the Illinois political writer for the Associated Press. More on the shoebox scandal coming up on 720 WGN. Having a great conversation with John O'Connor, Illinois political writer, Associated Press, the shoebox scandal, which is like $750,000, $800,000 in cash found in a shoebox from an Illinois politician. I know that's just as so shocking that that could possibly happen. And Powell, I guess you would call him, what would we call him? Powell is the politician at the center of this, right?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
He's kind of the granddaddy of Illinois corruption, although there's plenty of corruption before Paul Powell, too.
Right.
But
still, yeah, this is setting a very high bar.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Blagojevich could be in prison going, well, at least I'm not Powell. You know, Adlai Stevenson, I love this quote, Adlai Stevenson III, who was a Democratic state treasurer, told the reporter, because Powell had been the treasurer, his shoeboxes will be hard to fill, which I thought was a really, really great line. And you said earlier that Powell was only making $300,000 a year, but then he had an estate that topped how many million?
$30,000 and $4.6 million, I think.
Wow.
And $1 million of that was in racetrack stock, and this is one of the one of the major ways that, you know, horse racing, of course, before we had casinos, before we had the lottery, horse racing was the way to gamble in Illinois. And he was instrumental in getting the bill passed to allow horse racing at county fairs. That's how it got started, and harness racing and thoroughbred racing. Well, he then bought stock at maybe 10 cents a share in these racetracks, then set the favorable racing dates for them, and saw his stock escalate. Now, none of that was illegal, or there were no laws against that. There was no disclosure either. You know, the public would have raised their an eyebrow had they had the economic disclosures that they have today. He's got this interest in these racetracks, and he's the one setting the dates. So that was just kind of the beginning of his picking up the cash over the years.
And it seems to me, according to your article, he purposefully projected an image of generosity, of empathy, of concern. You talk about a flower fund. Could you explain that?
That was something that a lot of politicians did. They would, whether it be a campaign contribution or and not just Powell, but you know, a lot of people in those days. If you saw your local representative walking down the street, you might hand him a 20, you know, here.
Really?
Take care of yourself. And one of those uses was the quote-unquote flower fund, so that the representative or the state senator had money to send to funeral homes and nursing homes, and particularly for funerals, when somebody prominent died, then the flowers would come around from the state representative.
Right, with his name on it and impressing the bereaved family. Yeah.
Right. And again, no campaign finance laws, nobody accounting for the money. So, and he was so popular that John Rendleman, the son of the executor of his estate, told me, and actually several people told me this, he would go to an event, you know, your typical chicken dinner, rubber chicken dinner, and people would just push money into his pockets, 20s, 50s. They just loved him, and they gave him money like it was going out of style.
Can you imagine that happening today? Or a politician is sitting somewhere, and people come up and voluntarily take money out of their wallets or purses or whatever and give it to them? I mean, what did they expect? What was the quid pro quo, so to speak? What were they expecting in exchange for this?
He provided a lot of jobs. He, you know, would pass legislation that provided jobs. He got a lot of public works projects. One of the former press people in the State House during the 60s told me he was a one-man public works department for Southern Illinois. And he was, you know, he played this game as this folksy old, you know, good old boy from Southern Illinois.
Right.
But when it came time to negotiate with Mayor Daley, Richard J. Daley,
he would go
toe to toe. And for example, McCormick Place, Daley needed lots of votes to get that built in 1960, and Powell delivered, and he made sure that he got projects for Southern Illinois.
Yeah, so there would be there would be a quid pro quo on that one. I mean, getting, you know, I scratch your back, you scratch my back, and together we will build McCormick Place. But some, it's almost like The Godfather, but somewhere down the line, I will ask you to do me a favor. You know, I mean, really, it sort of sounds the way it was. I'm sorry, go ahead, John.
Well, just that Southern Illinois has always felt like the redheaded stepchild to Chicago. And you still today, I mean, there are literally pieces of legislation in the legislature today from Southern Illinois legislators talking about separating the state from Chicago. They think that Chicago sucks up all the money and so forth. So this is a guy who brought the bacon home. In fact, one of his favorite sayings was, when he was making a deal, one of his favorite sayings was, "I can smell the meat a-cooking."
Well, it's as I hear you tell this story, and from my years of living in Illinois and the things that have happened, not only just in Springfield, but with aldermen and all sorts of politicians getting into hot water, it almost strikes me as something that might have been a motivation for them to get into that arena to begin with. They knew that they could somehow massage the system and reap the benefits, that it was almost a perk, if you will.
I believe that's probably true. In fact, I'm sure that I've read, you know, anecdotes about, I'm thinking about LBJ, Lyndon Johnson, the Robert Caro's biography of LBJ. I mean, there's a person who, you know, it was made clear to him that I can make money going into politics, and I have influence, and I can change laws, and I can make money off of that. And I'm sure that Paul Powell was very ambitious. He was the youngest mayor of Vienna, which is way down south in Southern Illinois. And he was first a school board member, then the youngest mayor ever. And he was only 32 when he was elected to the legislature. So he was ambitious from the start. And he started his own restaurant as like a, you know, early 20s. So
no credit cards,
just,
only cash.
Just a guy, no, just, yeah. So, yeah, he knew what he wanted, and he set his sights on getting it done.
And he never, as I read your article, he never suffered any repercussions from. Am I right about that? There was never any charges brought against him. He was never
He was called at least once. He was called before the Chicago Crime Commission to talk about racetracks, I think. And
There's the racetrack incident with Otto Kerner, right?
Well,
I mean, doesn't that come from that?
Yeah, it stems from that. It was another situation where Kerner may not have, you know, Kerner may have just blundered into it, but he got stocks at a reduced rate and sold them, and the person who sold him the stocks then reported it as a contribution. And that's how he got it. But it came out of the Powell investigation because once the cash was discovered, then people started digging, news people started digging into all the interests that not just Powell, but many, many legislators had in racetracks. So
just amazing. It is amazing.
It was a different time.
Thank you, John. A really interesting conversation about one of the really big political scandals of Illinois. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's great. It's a lot of fun.
Thanks, John. He is the Illinois political writer for the Associated Press. Wow. It's just unreal.